Welcome, wombat folk and trolls, sorcerers and orcs, to Rated RPG, the fantasy role-playing podcast where we toss dice and have fun adventures with our friends. This is the Valley of Green Gold, episode 53. Previously in the Valley of Green Gold, so much has happened. We've had 52 episodes of the Valley of Green Gold, and that's a lot of detail and a lot of lore and plenty of clues to remember and keep track of. So for your enjoyment and for the enjoyment of Aaron, Brad, Dion, and Emery, we're going to do a whole big recap episode at some point in the very near future. It'll be mostly unedited. It'll be a lot of fun. And we want to thank Bossa Nova Bill for the suggestion, because as we get closer to the conclusion, it's going to be really important that a lot of those details, you know, come back up again so that we don't just forget they existed. But in the meantime, let's get back to the quest at hand. The Whoop Whoop Troop is searching for knowledge. Knowledge they think might be found in the tower of Maddox the Wizard, one of the original four adventurers to go into the mines to beat the monsters 40 years or so ago. Well, nobody's seen Maddox in a long time, and apparently lives in this tower, 140 feet high, and its construction is ongoing. It's getting taller every year, and nobody really knows what's going on there because it's shrouded in a thick fog cloud that obscures the top of the tower. Now, the party has survived being bombarded by big rocks, which came hurtling out of that cloud cover, nearly killing Clubhead and Silbeth. Silbeth is still under the curse of that abyssal nickel, although, thanks to some deception by Wendell the Wombat, she doesn't believe magic exists, but Wendell has convinced her that Mungic is real, and Mungic is very similar to magic in many ways, but she maintains a tentative grasp on her emotions. Her ability or likelihood to surge is a little bit reduced thanks to that quick thinking by Wendell, but she still can't use her sorcery, which has really reduced her effectiveness in combat. So the party has ascended about 75% of the tower. They come to an exit on the backside of the structure, a large open space carved out of the mountain where it appears that the supply of building materials for the tower's construction have been mined. It's not a very big area. It's obscured by fog, and there's a very nasty drop-off that leads to a 100-foot fall to the rocks below. It's perfect for a fight. And fight they did. The party was set upon by a four-armed construct, the Tag Pub 7, the same model as the one that works down in the docks in Merchant Harbor. The Thule Automated General Purpose Utility Being Model Number 7. But this one is covered in spherical mushrooms like puffballs, and it has a large red sigil painted on its chest plate, a crescent moon and star. Clubhead tried to communicate with the fungus, but they either refused to speak to him or they just couldn't communicate with him. And then combat ensued. In the fracas, a beloved party member met with a tragic fall. Croaky, Wendell the Wombat's zombie associate, was thrown off the edge to the rocks below, and the party has gone toe-to-toe with this Tag Pub 7, doing little damage, but Bunny DePayne used his pro wrestling prowess on his turn to arm whip the construct off the edge. And we are to Clubhead Wendell's on deck.
Whoa, what's going on, guys? I heard a lot of shouting and yelling and Mungic, maybe? As far as I know, there aren't any enemies, right?
There's no other enemies, you're right. As you look around in the fog, yeah, you basically just like turned around, saw something moving, and then Wendell cast some Mungic, and then I guess you would have seen Croaky thrown off the edge by the small Tag Pub, and then Bunny go over and whip him off the ledge.
All right, well, I will just see if I can spot any other enemies up here. If there was one Tag Pub 7, maybe there's a second.
Give me a perception check.
16.
Okay, so you take a few seconds to scan the area for danger, and you use your movement to run back to where you suspect there could be a tunnel into the mountain, but you don't find one. And you realize that this is just a space where perhaps the Tag Pubs have been mining rock to build the tower from here upward. It's just a flat, mined-out plateau, maybe 40 by 30 feet. And as you make this realization, you feel vibrations in your feet, and you hear a thud, 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 thud. Heavy footsteps getting closer and closer, charging down the tower steps with violent intentions. And that's the end of your turn.
Oh, boy.
It's to Wendell.
Does Wendell hear the footsteps?
Give me a perception check.
A natural one.
Was Wendell hyping? Was he being a hype wombat or celebrating with Bunny or
well,
something?
Well, no, actually he was lamenting the death of his first.
Oh. Never forget your first.
What was that like?
His firstborn?
Yeah. Yeah, basically, yeah. And he was also trying to remember if he'd left anything important on Krogi's body.
Oh, did he?
I don't think so, but you know.
No, I don't think...
Never give your sacrificial zombie anything important.
No.
That's Necromancer 101.
He also was trying to remember if he left the campfire on.
Yes.
Clubhead would have had a second or two to, like, alert people to
True.
The sound.
Yeah.
Yeah. Guys, I hear something coming! It's big!
Oh, mama.
From where?
I don't know!
Wendell, you're right now closest to this opening in the tower. You're closest to this doorway. So on your turn, having heard that from Clubhead, you'd have an opportunity to at least use your movement, even though you don't hear anything coming.
Yes. Wendell is going to search for somewhere to take cover, somewhere that is ideally not within throwing distance of the edge of the cliff.
Okay. You move away from the tower, far enough from the tower that you can't see the entrance to the tower, but you can see most of the rest of your party. So you're sort of behind where Clubhead is. You've taken cover behind one of these piles of rocks.
Yeah, in fact, are the rocks diggable? Like, could Wendell, you know, dig into them if necessary?
They are too large to dig into.
Okay.
They're about maybe half to three quarters the size of you.
And the ground here is pretty well, like, hard rock.
It's just rock. Yep.
Okay, well, Wendell's just going to stick himself behind those stones and prepare. And kind of, he'll shout to everybody, "Everybody, take cover! Don't let the, whatever this thing is, throw us off the edge."
Does my passive perception score help me know where this is coming from?
What is your passive, 15?
Yeah.
It does not, so I'm going to have you roll perception.
Is that an action, though?
In this case, I'll say it's not.
All right. 20.
You do hear the thump, 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 and it is getting louder and closer. And it is coming from the tower, seems to be coming from the upper part of the tower, and whatever it is getting very close to the exit, or the entrance there, the hole in the tower.
Got it. And how far away are we from that entrance?
At this point, Bunny is the closest one to the entrance. He's 10 feet away from the entrance. The next closest is going to be Silbeth, and then Clubhead, and then Wendell.
How sheer is the mountain wall at this point? Are there any ledges or chimney cracks in the mountain leading up?
Are you looking to climb the mountain itself?
Either up it or into it, yes.
I would say you'd be able to find plenty of handholds to scamper up at least, you know, 10 feet maybe.
Yeah, I would like to try to get to a place that I could hide, like a ledge, like, so if the thing looked up, he wouldn't see me up there.
Okay. Based on your intent, I'm going to have you give me a stealth check.
Okay.
First. That's going to be kind of the most important element of this.
6.
So, Silbeth would try to climb up into a crevasse in the side of the mountain that looks like it could be a good hiding spot, but unfortunately, as you scamper over to it and you start to climb, the rocks fall away from your hands and you're just not able to get into that spot. But you are in a spot where you're not far from Wendell. Wendell, you see him taking cover behind a pile of rocks nearby. But you're fairly exposed at the end of your turn.
And this just ends in a blank wall?
It does. That's where they stopped mining.
Okay,
just
well,
right there.
I'll go hide by Wendell then.
Okay, you duck down next to Wendell.
Yes, you took cover. Smart. Good move.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening.
All right, back up to the top of the turn order. It is round 3, Bunny DePayne. It's your turn, and you can hear this thumping sound. Whatever is coming is going to be coming out of the opening of that tower.
It sounds larger than the noises that Tag Pub were making, I assume. Like, just heft-wise, you know, like...
I would say, to you, it would sound pretty similar.
Okay, shit. I mean, well, we beat up a lot of trolls. No, look, my perception is big trash. If I go and duck down behind a thing, could I, like, prep an attack? Is that a thing I can do?
Yeah, I would say you would have time on your turn and space. You could take cover behind one of these piles of rocks, and you would be able to find a rock, at least the perfect size for you to throw, if that was what you wanted to do.
Okay. Now, here's the question. If I, once this guy pops back up, so you know how in Storm the Ring, can I use it again since I'd be fighting a new guy? Because I know I only get to use Storm the Ring like as my first attack. So does it count for this guy since it'd be my first attack against him if I want to use the bludgeon ability in it?
I'm going to rule since, you know, we kept the same initiative rolls just because, well, first of all, you guys rolled really, really well and it's exciting. I wanted to keep them. And because it's sort of a continuation of the same combat. So I'm going to say that it is the same combat. And once you use Storm the Ring, like, yeah, you would have this little bit of an adrenaline dump, just like the Ultimate Warrior running into a ring. You know, you'd have that adrenaline dump
okay,
a little bit.
No worries at all. Then I am just going to get low, get my rock ready to David some Goliath. Yeah.
Okay. And you're going to hold your action,
yes,
right?
Yes, sir.
All right. Clubhead, it's your turn. Wendell on deck.
Okay. And the thing still hasn't come in division, right?
It has not emerged.
Okay. I will use my last wild shape until we short rest again to use Symbiotic Entity to create a nice little buffer of fungus shields around my body.
Excellent.
I'll try to do that out of Silbeth's line of sight.
That's actually not going to be too hard because the fog obscuring everything, you're going to be close enough to the entrance, far enough from her, she probably wouldn't be able to see you.
Yeah, and then I'm going to try to take cover near Bunny. So we all have a buddy.
Yeah, the buddy system works.
Yay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even Croaky has a buddy down there.
Oh, I give you a little fist bump, and I shillelagh my staff. Oh, does that have a verbal component? It does.
I'm going to say Silbeth would be really focused on the approaching enemy. I'll give you a pass on that one, that you would be able to whisper your verbal component and not trigger her.
I tell Bunny to cough loudly. All right, that's it for me.
All right. Wendell.
Okay, so how wide is the path leading out the door there that Bunny and Clubhead are standing on?
The doorway is about 8 feet and the path is 10 feet. Now, Clubhead and Bunny are not on the 10-foot wide path. They're on the wider flat area just on your side of that path. So they're about 15 feet from the doorway. So they're only about 5 feet past that path.
Okay. Let's see. Am I within 60 feet of the door?
Yes. You're within 30 feet of the door.
Wendell stands up from behind the pile of rocks and takes a bit of spider web out of his pocket and whispers some words, points at the door, and a giant mass of webbing springs up in a 20-foot cube in front of the door.
Oh, massive. Silbeth, sitting next to you, of course, would probably see you do this.
Get ready, Silbeth. Some Munjik is coming. Get excited.
okay. I'm going to say there's a 50% chance I take a point of emotion if I roll higher than a 10.
Okay.
Yes, an 11. So I take a point of emotion.
Okay.
A 13.
Whew.
Still safe. Hey, that was Munjik?
Yes, harmless fun.
Should he be doing that when there's enemies coming around?
Oh, it can't hurt. Hopefully it will stop them from getting to us very easily.
Yeah, okay, I don't think you should be having fun while our life's in danger.
Well, I always like to have fun, Silbeth. That's my motto. Have fun with Munjik.
The great infomercial.
I've never heard you say that before.
Oh, you haven't?
No.
Maybe I've just never said it to you.
Okay.
I've been saying it for years.
All right, and with that, this huge cube of spider webs pops up in the doorway. Of course, Silbeth is talking to Wendell, so probably doesn't even see that happened at this point. But it is Silbeth's turn now, and you are aware there is an enemy approaching.
Right, but they're still not in sight, correct?
They are not. They are not.
Hmm.
But you hear those footsteps, and boy, they're close.
I think Silbeth is smart enough that she probably assumes it's some more constructs.
Yeah, I would say that would be at least partially obvious to all of you at this point. That sounds like Tagpub.
Yeah. What the heck can Silbeth do if she doesn't believe she has magic?
Got your crossbow.
That's true.
You could rename your crossbow Chaos, and then every time you fire it, it'll be a Chaos Bolt.
Amazing.
That's true. I guess I'll just ready a crossbow shot.
Holding your action until you see something come in the door. So we've got Bunny holding a thrown item. We've got Clubhead is ready, but you used your action for Shillelagh, right? Or was that that was a bonus action?
Yeah, I used my action for the symbiotic entity.
Right. Wendell's got the web cast, Silbeth holding a crossbow bolt, and that is when you see another Tag Pub 7. This one also bearing that red paint marking of the crescent moon and star on its heavily armored chest plate. But this one looks a little beat up, and it's missing an arm. Now, you might think that this was the Tag Pub that you had thrown off the edge, Bunny, but this is a different Tag Pub. It came from the top of the tower down, and it is emerging from the tunnel right now. Now, the first thing it's going to encounter is these webs, and for the web, it needs to make a dexterity saving throw, because it's entering those webs on its turn, and if it fails this save, it's restrained for as long as it remains in the webs or until it breaks free. And this is a large creature. This is the other reason you know it's not the same Tag Pub. It's not been reduced. Wendell, casting web, you would have dropped concentration on enlarge reduce as well.
Yes. So hopefully the dead robot at the bottom of the cliff is...
Is dead. We hope it's dead.
And now large again.
All right. This Tag Pub has three arms as well. You notice it's missing one of its arms. It's a little banged up and beat up. And as it's trucking down these stairs, it bursts through your webs. It is not restrained by your webs.
Oh, man. Did it even slow it down?
It may have slowed it down a little bit, but boy, that thing was moving, and it was big. And now, Bunny, you get to throw your rock at it.
thanks so much. Throw the rock at the invulnerable robot. Okay. Ah, skadoosh! 25, you son of a biscuit.
Holy mackerel. Okay, you hit it, and ping, it bounces off of its armor, but leaves a pretty substantial dent in it. All right, Silbeth, you fire your crossbow?
I do.
Let her rip.
Eight,
the crossbow bolt ping, zings, and hits the Tag Pub in its chest and bounces off shattered crossbow bolt.
I'm usually so good at crossbow. That's my specialty.
And it's really upsetting. All right, so this Tag Pub, having been hit by a rock and a crossbow bolt, it's at the bottom of the stairs and has emerged from the tower, broken through the spider webs, although there's still quite a few spider webs in place. So it could be something you could utilize. So I don't know if Wendell wants to keep concentrating on it or not. We'll find out. The Tag Pub has used all of its movement, so it's just scanning the area, trying to figure out where all the enemies are. It is round four. And Bunny DePayne is up, Clubhead on deck.
Hey, Clubhead, what is your... That fog, is this going to hurt me or no?
So, I always have a spore cloud around me, and I can choose to, as a reaction, I can choose to force creatures that are near me to basically inhale the spores, and then it, like, damages them. But that's totally up to me.
Speaking of mushrooms, also something you notice on this one, same as the other Tag Pub, this one has all of these bulbous spherical mushrooms, like puffballs, all over it, sort of infused in it.
Look, I'm not here to be a thinking man's man. I'm here to hit people with chairs. I start running up to it, famous last words, and I'm going to hit it with my chair, and I'm going to say, you're about to be down there with the other jabroni, mother sucker! 26!
That is a hit! You clock this construct in the head. You get another attack.
That's damn right I do. Don't worry, this is a I don't know, waterfall of club seats. Bam! There we go, 24 on the second one. And we're keeping it going because I'm going ice cold because he don't know who he messing with. Come on, baby. Number three, 22. Number four, 24. Leave me the fuck alone.
Ah. Wow. Damn.
A flurry of smashes in the head with the club seat leaves this Tag Pub 7 definitely more damaged than when he came out here.
Because of my ability, let's finish this. Do I know if it's got 10 or fewer hit points?
It has more than 10 hit points left.
Ah, I was hoping we'd get this bitch out of here early. I'm probably out of movement, or if I move away, attack of opportunity.
Correct. Yeah, you do have movement left, but attack of opportunity would be something it would do.
I think it's probably still safer, because I'm not that durable of a dude. Yeah, I'm gonna try to like back up back towards Clubhead. What is that, a dex save?
You saying you're not the Energizer Bunny?
Ooh, you sly duck, you. Okay, I like that one.
All right, inspiration for Brad.
Yeah, I knew I'd get it eventually.
So after four chair shots, that is 16, 22, 27 points of damage, its head and shoulders and stuff all dented up from your chair seat, do you retreat and take a chance with the attack of opportunity?
I think that's probably safer than just standing near a throwing arm. So yeah, I'm going to do that. I'm going to back on up.
It swings one of its fists. These are big, heavy metal fists, which resemble a little bit like a maul. And so that is what it's doing. It swings at you.
Hey.
You're too fast for it. You duck under it as the wind brushes through your hair.
Try again next time, big baby.
Where'd you go?
I want to head back towards Clubhead because I know he's got something cooking.
All right. Head back to the Hill of Rocks. And it is Clubhead's turn, Wendell on deck.
Okay, so this is the first turn the Clubhead has had where he actually can, like, see one of these things and he's not surprised. So he's now finally, like, making the connection, like, oh my gosh, this thing is just like me. And he sort of has like this visceral reaction to seeing Bunny DePayne run up and just start wailing on this poor fungus infested construct.
Roll for a wild mushroom surge.
Wild mushroom risotto surge. Oh, I'd eat the hell out of it.
Oh, I got it for some of that.
So Clubhead's gonna stand up from behind the rocks and walk towards the tag pub. And he's like, whoa, guys, hold on. Hold on, maybe I could talk with it. And if possible, I'm going to try to get close enough to it to use my last fungal flourish of the day and try to use fungal communication.
Are you about to hit him with a you're not so different, you and I moment?
You all watch as Clubhead emerges from this pile of rocks. He stands up and instead of like launching into an assault on this tag pub, he has this look in his eye. And he walks slowly toward the construct with his hand outstretched, like you would a horse in the wild. And what do you say? As you connect, you're able to walk up and touch the construct.
Clubhead says, now we are one. Tell me, brother, are you my family?
It says nothing. The mushrooms on it say nothing.
What?
No, Clubhead!
Speak to me. We mean you no harm.
It says nothing, but it looks very severe and angry.
Uh-oh. I may have made a mistake.
Clubhead, I hope you can fly.
Well, that was my action.
Mm-hmm.
And my movement.
Goodbye, Clubhead.
Now, you guys, you and Bunny, were not more than 15 feet away from this tag pub, so you'd have 15 more feet of movement. You could go back to the rock pile.
I shake my head and kind of snap myself out of it, breaking the connection, and turn around and hoof it back towards Bunny.
I made a mistake!
Okay.
He's not cool!
Oh, get out of there!
Jesus!
All right, Wendell the Wombat, Silbeth is up.
Okay, so it's still covered in webs or in the webby area?
It's very close to the webby area. It's like 5 feet outside of the webby area.
But I can't cast a cantrip while I'm concentrating on web.
If it's not a concentration spell. Any spell that doesn't require concentration, if you're concentrating on something else, you can cast it.
Right.
So my question is, are the webs still close enough that if I lit them up with Firebolt that he'd take damage?
Oh, that is an interesting question. Let me take a look at Webb and see what that says about fire flammable. Sure they are. Yeah, he's close enough. He's in the webs as far as that's concerned.
All right, might as well make some use out of this web. Wendell shoots a bolt of fire out of his hand at the web that he created and attempts to burn this thing. And there's probably no way to avoid Silbeth seeing this again, but you know, it's Mungic, you know. Never believe it's not so.
So, yes, there's an automatic one emotion on that spell. There's a 50% chance of two magic, or two emotion, I mean.
Okay.
All right, just one.
All right.
Well, holy cow, there's fire in your hands.
Let's see what happens.
Uh-oh.
And here's the wild magic surge. A one!
No!
I surge.
Before you roll, Brad, before you roll, Wendell launches this firebolt. And because it's such a huge area, 20-foot cube of webs, you don't have to roll to hit it. You'll hit it even if you don't aim. So you hip shot this thing. Whoosh! The whole web area goes up in flames. Tagpub is right in it there. So he's going to take 2d4 fire damage at the start of his turn, because he's going to be in the fire at the start of his turn. And Wendell, you see Silbeth. She's freaking out, man.
Fire out of the fingers.
Okay.
You regain your highest level expended spell slot, which ordinarily would be amazing.
Right. In the current situation, you don't believe that's even possible, or you just sort of...
Yes.
I imagine you just sort of like having a massive brain fart, and you're just like, huh?
Well, yeah, and I haven't expended any spells, so right. I guess nothing happened.
Yeah.
Hey, you get,
which
you get
is good,
yeah.
Because then you don't take any emotion, because you've
yes.
not really done anything.
Oh, that's right.
But am I down to zero now?
Yes.
Right.
Nice.
I guess the effect still happened. I didn't notice anything. Okay.
So what does that look like, you know? Like, what do I see Silbeth doing?
I have here? A small orgasm.
Le petit mort? Okay.
That's right.
And then you just relax, and you're just like,
Yeah. Oh. Okay. Munjik.
And then it's your turn, Silbeth.
All right. Well, I feel okay. I feel better. Ah, I'm going to take a crossbow shot at that thing.
So let me get this straight. Munjik actually turns Silbeth on?
Well, I mean, I would imagine regaining a high-level spell slot is pretty similar to an orgasm.
Akin to that, yeah.
But once again, I only rolled a 6.
Yeah, you prematurely fired your crossbow. And
yes,
it went
I did.
Sailing over
yes,
the,
I did.
Over the cliff.
Had a little shudder.
Anything else for Silbeth?
Nope.
Smokes a cigarette or something?
Yes.
All right. Okay. The tag pub with three arms takes his 2d4 fire damage. Go ahead and roll that, Aaron.
Very good. That's a 5 points of fire damage.
That's a good. All right, so this tag pub takes a little scorchy from the fire as the webs all burn away. So I guess you don't need to keep concentrating on that, Wendell. And it looks around. It knows that it has been confronted by two creatures that came out from behind this rock pile nearby. That would be Clubhead and Bunny. So it runs over to the rock pile, and the nearest one to it will make Bunny even and Clubhead odd.
I am pretty odd.
Oh, I'm very sorry. Bunny DePayne, you've been selected for this beatdown. And the tag pub, it only has three arms, which is kind of nice because there's only three attacks coming as this thing is swinging its fists at you.
Oh, mama mia.
First attack is a 25.
Oh, damn. Dude. Okay.
That is a right hook. Bam, right across the jaw for 9 bludgeoning damage.
Oof, let's get it.
Second attack, a 22. A left jab, 13 bludgeoning damage.
Oof.
Oh, God.
And it swings with its third arm, a right cross, a 20 to hit.
Ooh.
8 bludgeoning damage.
Got me in my training days, good Lord.
A little cherry on top of this, though. It did enter into my spore radius to do this.
Oh, it did. Let's get it.
So it's got to make a constitution saving throw here.
All right.
Oh, it passed.
It got a 24.
Oh, nasty. Okay.
So it is hanging out in your spores, and it doesn't seem to mind.
No.
And that is it for that tag pub. We are back up to the top of the turn order, round 5. Bunny DePayne and Clubhead on deck.
There's nowhere to run. All we can do is the old fashioned, which is club seat, baby! 21. We're good. Now we're going again. 25. Now we're going again. Another ice cold point. Going again. 16. Does that hit?
It hits, but it hits the armor, and these things are heavily armored, so it just kind of glances off.
One more time for the one time! We only win twice. Okay.
It blocks that shot with one of its arms and does no damage.
Okay. I should probably get the freak out of dodge, but then that'd be an attack of opportunity.
You did 19 points of damage. It is the start of the next round, but this thing already used its attack of opportunity prior to this turn. So yeah, it does have another one at the ready. So yeah, you would have an attack of opportunity against you.
I'm going to ask one more time. After those hits, 10 or fewer hit points?
Nope, it has more than 10.
Dang, this thing is heavy. I mean, Clubhead's right next to me, so I'm going to hope. Fuck it, we're here. I'm staying. I'm in it, baby. This is what we're here for.
All right.
Actually, before my turn is over, I put on my fake beard for motivation. That's what I'm going to do.
How many ice cold points do you get, by the way?
I get 6.
Oh, okay.
So I've just been trying to use them sparingly.
Yeah.
And they come back on like a short rest or something, right?
Oh, wait, do they?
When you spend a key point, it is unavailable until you finish a short or long rest.
Oh, my God. That means I got 4 left. Okay. Hell yeah. I'll take that. Okay.
All right.
Wait, well, if that's the case, well, sorry, just one more time. If that's the case, could I use one of my ice cold points to go for the defense? Because, you know, at the end of the turn, I could spend one to bolster my resolve for the next attack. It grants me resistance.
Yeah.
Okay, then I'm doing that. Ha! Now I'm done for sure.
Okay. Bunny bolsters himself, grabbing his fake beard, and you're just able to just stick it to your face because your face is all bloody. So you're able to just stick it onto your face. That way, you don't have to attach it. Do you say anything when you do that?
I said, now it's time for my final form, Old Man the Pain, Orlando style. And then I'll put it on.
All right, Clubhead, you're up. Wendell on deck.
Right. I think I'm going to cast a spell. I'm going to cast Fairy Fire on top of this tag pug.
Okay.
Did you just say tag pug?
I heard tag pug.
Yeah.
Adorable. Tag deadly.
Does he have a cute little smush little nose?
He does, because Bunny smashed it in with his club seat.
All right. So I stick my staff into the air and a glittering shower of sparkling spores falls all over tag pug. And he's got to make a dexterity saving throw.
All right, he rolls a natural one.
Yes!
Oh!
Wait, what was that? Was that Munjik?
Yeah.
Oh, but I take a point of emotion.
Okay. You resist?
I do resist a little bit. 15. We're good.
All right.
Whew. So that was a first level spell, and it is now covered in these glittering spores. So if it tries to go invisible, it cannot go invisible. And any attack rolls against it have advantage.
Oh, awesome.
Heck yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, very helpful. High AC. Yeah.
And then I am done.
That's melee and ranged, right?
Correct.
Yeah. So was that a bonus action?
Nah, that's my action.
Okay. And you have any bonus actions you want
to
do?
I would love to cast Healing Word, but unfortunately I can't because I cast a leveled spell with my action. So, no, I don't have any other bonus actions.
Okay, so Tag Pub is covered in these glittering spores that catch just enough light so that everybody can see this thing very clearly. Wendell the Wombat, it's your turn. Silbeth on deck.
What's Wendell's professional assessment of how bad of condition this thing is in? Does it seem, you know, like it's been reasonably affected, or does it seem like it's still going strong?
Give me an Arcana check.
Okay.
Who do you think you are, an artificer?
The Wendell?
9.
You know it's been damaged. You don't have any clue how many more shots it's going to take to destroy this thing.
But I do know that Bunny is in rough shape, so.
Yeah, you see, he's bleeding pretty bad.
Okay, then my next question. So, is this construct completely made of metal?
No, it's wood and leather and metal all kind of woven together.
So what happens if you heat up the metal parts?
Well, It would damage it because that's still causing heat damage.
And the spell heat metal causes the user who's holding something that is heated to have disadvantage on attacks.
Mm-hmm.
Could that also potentially be an effect if the metal on its body is heated?
Oh, absolutely. This thing has armor, but unlike somebody wearing armor, it can't doff its armor. Its armor is part of it.
Yes, exactly. I think this is worth a shot. Wendell's going to whip out the Symphony of Combustion spell scroll.
Ooh.
Yeah.
And finally, what would you do for a Klondike bar?
That is not Wendell's final question.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry. Maybe next time.
All right. You cast this spell. It is concentration, so whatever is left of any other concentration goes away. You cast this spell, verbal, somatic, and material component. Pulls out a little piece of iron and a flame. I don't know where you got the flame from, but you got it. And the tag pub begins to glow red hot.
Yeah.
And it can do nothing about it. And so it's going to take 2d8 fire damage right now.
Yeah.
Good call.
Oh, that's 5 damage. But you know what? It's fine. It's got disadvantage on its attacks. That's
damn
all I care about.
Right, it does. Yeah. Let's get it.
It's got all disadvantage, right. And we all have advantage.
Yeah, baby. All right, that spell scroll is used up, but you know what? I think it was worth it.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Okay, so I saw you read something off of paper. Like, you didn't explain anything like that as Mungic. So that's 2 levels of emotion.
Yeah, that's fair.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You didn't, like, have to do any of the other stuff. You didn't have to have a component because it was off of a spell scroll. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What was that? You read some words?
15. No wild surge.
Nice.
Okay.
I just read some words. It's just, it's more fun stuff. You got to relax.
He got all hot.
You're at, what, 2 now? 2 levels of emotion?
3.
3. It is your turn.
All right.
Just attack it, Silbeth.
That's what I've been doing, but my crossbow bolts don't do anything.
Believe in the Mungic in every one of us.
There's been no evidence that I have Mungic. I'm just shooting this crossbow again.
14.
With advantage.
Oh, still just 14.
You hit it, but yeah. The crossbow bolt bounces off of it.
This is pointless.
Wow, Silbeth sounds very frustrated.
Yes, it's another point.
Oh, no.
This is getting ridiculous.
Silbeth hurls herself off the cliff.
13. Still good.
All right. Anything else for Silbeth?
No.
Tagpub, glowing red hot, is going to continue to try to attack Bunny because that's the person in front of him.
First, it's going to have to make its con save against my spores at the beginning of its turn. Oh,
it rolls a 24.
Nasty. Damn. All right.
Bunny, you have your ice cold defense up. So you've got your dukes up to block the shots. So the first shot it makes with disadvantage. Is that correct?
Yes.
All right. It still gets a 20.
Damn.
Oh. Strong as shit.
It kind of like gives you a little bit of a fake and then punches you with a left jab right between your arms. Ooh. And that's 7 points of bludgeoning damage.
So how would the resistance work?
You're resistant to bludgeoning damage. So half of that means you would take 3 points of bludgeoning damage because we round down on that.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah.
That's the first shot. Second shot, no longer have resistance, but it has disadvantage.
Oh, get away from me.
That is a 14.
Whew. Hey, actually, does that hit me?
No, please tell me no. No way. Oh, my God.
What's your armor class?
10.
No.
Oh, it can't be 10.
10.
10.
That's what it says on my thing, but I've never changed it. I was leaning on you to change it, so...
I never changed it. All right, so because you're a monk, you don't wear armor. You're essentially a monk, but you're a pro wrestler. You don't wear armor. Because of that, you have...
Oh, it says... 10 plus dex modifier plus wisdom modifier.
Exactly. So you get 14 armor class plus your wisdom modifier. That's 2 more. That's 16. And the shot misses.
We just need to dodge one more.
And it has 1 more punch left for you.
I'm calling on all the ancestors of wrestlers before me.
Wait, are you saying that you've been taking hits the whole campaign as if you had a 10 armor class?
Yeah. Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. No. I don't know. The last 4 years, let me live.
Yeah, I was going to say, bro made it to level 5 with a fucking 10 AC, and then I remembered he died. So that explains that.
I think we had it dialed in. I think we had you at a 16 armor class before.
I think so, too.
I'll take your word for it. I was like 10. I see 10. Yeah.
I feel like we knew it was 16 at some point. I'm sure someone will let us know if that's not the case.
Great White, we need you to tell me I was wrong.
All right, 1 more punch coming in. Ooh, this one is our left cross. That is a 14 to hit.
Ah, let's get out of my face.
Yeah, it's swinging wildly because its whole body is glowing red hot. You can feel the heat coming off of it. And that is its turn. Back up to the top of the turn order, I want everybody to give me a perception check.
12.
24.
18. 10.
Clubhead, you hear the unmistakable sounds of heavy footfalls coming from the distance.
Oh, fudge.
Give me a break.
Oh, dear. The other one is coming back up the tower.
Just crawling up with two arms.
It is some distance away, but it does seem to be approaching. Do you let everybody know, or?
We got incoming. Another one.
Bunny to pain. Clubhead on deck.
He's Bunny in pain right now.
That's true.
Bunny T-Pain.
Oh, God damn it. I wish I had an auto-tune button. So I know that it's obviously over 10 hit points, but is there any way I can, just by judging how it's looking with all this damage, know if I should go towards a healing route, or should I just say fuck it and do what I do and hit it with a club seat like four times? I'm looking for a vibe check, essentially.
Just as a reminder, you have advantage on all attacks against it as long as I keep concentration on the fairy fire.
That's true, and I have been whacking it. You know what? Fuck it. Why would we change the script, baby? You know what this is. Same club seat channel, same club seat station. Bam! Number one. Oh, and it's a fucking natural 20. Oh, bitch! We're coming back, baby. Damn! That was a 26. Bam! That was a 22. That one's a natural 20 as well.
Oh, double hit! Holy shit. Oh, my God. Wow.
We're cooking the neighbors.
That was the right call.
Yes, it was. Good reminder,
oh,
bro.
Yes.
That is 41 points of damage, and with that last shot, Bunny, your wrestler senses tingle because you know this thing has under 10 hit points left.
Can I go into my... Shit, I should have asked. So it's because of the last hit, or would it be...
It was because of the last hit. It went into sub 10 hit point range because of the last hit.
Now, with my finishing move, let me...
Finish it.
Actually, so I have the ability, if I choose it, whichever attack I choose, I can double that damage on a successful attack. Is there a chance you would let me take either that first natural 20 or that last one and double it retroactively?
This is using an ice cold point. That's you don't know who you're messing with?
No. Keep going down. Look under. Let's finish this. Ice cold time.
Finishing move. Whichever attack you choose, double your damage dice on a successful attack. It does cost a nice cold point, but yeah, we could do that.
I mean, look, if I double either one of those, that should get it the fuck out of here, right? I assume?
You smash it with your club seat. The first hit is a critical hit. Second hit, also a hit, not a crit, but you bash it in the head again. You bash it in the head again, third time, the fourth time. What do you say?
I bet you I can hit this head over the mountains and then I bury bonds that motherfucker's noggin right off over the side of the cliff.
Somebody check Bunny DePain for performance-enhancing drugs, because this tag pub has three arms and no head. Goodbye, it's out of here.
Thanks, Mean Gene.
The cream of the crop. Okay, Bunny DePain, you have successfully destroyed this tag pub 7. But that leaves one more tag pub 7, and he is on his way up the stairs. He is really booking it, and you will encounter what's left of him when we resume in our next episode of the Valley of Green Gold. And that is episode 53 of the Valley of Green Gold. Thank you very much for sharing the Valley of Green Gold. You know, algorithms are not very kind to little podcasts like ours. When we asked you for help, though, you helped us. We saw a big bump in new people checking out the podcast. We just hit 90,000 downloads total. So thank you for telling people that we exist. We understand that Valley of Green Gold isn't for everyone, but you're here at episode 53, so clearly it's for you. Thank you very much for helping. What We Do in the Shadowfell, our monthly rated RPG live stream, happens the last Tuesday of each month. Next one is happening Tuesday, March 26th, 7 p.m. Central Time in the U.S. You can support both the live stream and podcast in one place, patreon.com/ratedRPG. And you can be like the wonderful folks who provide us with rations and adventuring gear. People like Antarctic Pip, JC, and Dr. Space Marine. We also want to thank our audio transmuter, editing wizard Elizabeth Parcells, for the incredible and time-consuming work of putting this podcast together. Thank you so much. Also, thank you to the Scartabel of Mont Blanc, our graphic design warlock, Tony Mayer. Got some new graphics on the way for our adventure, the What We Do in the Shadowfell live stream coming up. Many thanks to the gorgeous Phoenix Brigade. Members in good standing include Anna and Uglaset. All hail the GPB. New random treasures, potentially cursed as they may be, will soon be coming to the party thanks to the Wizard Weary Duke of Lux and the Dukes Turtle and Crow. Thank you to the Merchant Harbor Gazette tier supporters, too, for your vigilance and newsworthiness. Jackson Wynn, Super Justin 64, GBS Trek, Spidey Mouse, and Brian Smallberries. As we've mentioned, there's been a lot of activity in Merchant Harbor lately. That dragon turtle carcass is pretty much cleaned up. The docks have been repaired. The damage from the attack is fixed. And Alain Coltan's construction of a new hotel and gambling establishment is nearly complete. But there are still some worrisome things happening. A recent arrival to Crow Island, Holly Summers, was looking for work, and she found the bulletin board on which Rokan Raskog of Rokan's Respite had posted an urgent request.
Someone please help me find the missing bard Argus Hoxong. I tried to get the Whoop Whoop troop to find her, but they keep ignoring me. Now they're off doing something else, and me bard could be dead.
Holly partnered up with a couple of real suspicious characters, Great White Spark and Ray the Lazy Elf, and they said, yeah, we'll help you find the bard, and then they headed off into the forest north of town to look for him. Like a day and a half later, Holly comes back into town carrying Great White Spark and Ray the Lazy Elf in a bucket, and she said that she didn't get much of a look at what got him, but whatever it was huge in size, and before it flew away, it let loose a blast of lightning. On behalf of everyone around Ye Olde Gaming Table, thank you for enjoying the Rated RPG Podcast.